Warning, the following content may be distressing or upsetting and not suitable for all audiences. Discretion is advised.
On New Year's morning, a devastating sight. A bike crumpled, parts of it strewn across Seaview Road, its light still flashing.
I'm not sure if I will ever ride past that site and not think of Byron. I mean, maybe that day will come, but I'm not really sure if that's any time soon.
Another cyclist performed CPR on the victim until emergency crews arrived, but he couldn't be saved.
I just basically abused him for not watching where he was driving and running into my mate. And then he gave me some excuse about just picking his car up.
The Toyota was captured on CCTV moments before the collision, but the video doesn't appear to shed any light on why it ended up on the wrong side of the road.
I don't know him, never did. It was just an unfortunate set of circumstances that led me to meet him on that day.
As to the facts and circumstances, that will come out later once the investigators have had a chance to do their job.
You won't really know the impact until it affects you and your family, and ultimately it will.
Dad was the safest rider I know, so he always wore bright clothing. He would plan his rides based on the direction of the sun so that drivers could see him. You know, when he saw that car coming towards him, he would have done everything he could to avoid it.
This is Fatal Five, the story of Byron Gordon.
So I'm Ian Parra. I'm an assistant commissioner with South Australia Police, and part of my portfolio is road safety. So I know Byron as a friend who I've cycled with infrequently over the years, but regularly enough to have known him reasonably well. Byron's a GP, he's a really well-respected person in our community. The majority of the time I got to know Byron was while we were cycling. And one of the things that always stuck with me was that he would be out at ridiculous hours of the morning and often had done a crazy amount of kilometres on the bike before he'd even joined us. So he was really passionate about cycling. He was just a really nice guy to be around, easy to talk to.
So my name's Steph. I'm a paramedic with SA Ambulance. Byron is my dad. He was a pretty good dad, to be honest. Dad worked incredibly hard. So I remember growing up and spending lots of time either in hospitals with him while he'd drive us to school. But we had a really good relationship. He's probably the member of my family that I'm most alike. We think the same, we look the same, we have the same interests. So growing up, we would always talk about the same things and bounce off each other really well. I have so many memories with Dad. The first one that comes to mind is we went away a lot. So we went on lots of family holidays, camping, and something always went wrong. So I remember going around the country in a leaky tent that slept four people, and there was five people in our family. So someone always slept in the car. So he was always looking for adventure and, doing whatever he could, I guess, to entertain us and give us all these family experiences together.
My name's Jeff Doe. I was a close personal friend of Dr. Gordon, Byron Gordon. He was my neighbour as well as my GP. He only lived down the road a short distance. Byron was a really witty and funny guy, He was always willing to help out and used to catch up for dinners, drinks, come over to the shed, look at me fixing my bike, go help him fix this bike. When I go to see him in the doctor's surgery, we'll chat after, do a consult, and we'll spend another 5 minutes chatting about what I'm going to do on the weekend. He also diagnosed me with cancer quite a few years ago, and through that early diagnosis, I got my cancer treated early and cancer-free now, which is fantastic. And we had a great time in Europe. Yeah, that was really good, yeah. I went on that purpose of riding. We was in the Pyrenees in France, and then we also went to the Alps in France. So probably one of the interesting memories we had from that is it was 40 degrees in the Alps, right? And we got back one day after a ride in the middle of the day, and Byron jumped in the pool with just his bibs on. So you know what cycling bibs look like? Just his bibs on. So it was hilarious when I looked at that.
So my name is Mandy. I live in the western suburbs of Adelaide, and I am a paediatric registered nurse. I was working New Year's Eve. And I was supposed to be driving down to Victor Harbour to spend New Year's Eve with a very good friend of mine down there. Had a really busy day at work. I was tired. I'd heard that there was fireworks at Victor when there weren't, because of COVID, there weren't any in Adelaide, and it's like everybody was heading down there. So I made the decision not to drive down to Victor Harbour that evening. I don't like driving that road at the best of times. So I had got up early on New Year's Day. I had taken the dog for a walk. And just after seven, I messaged Marie, said I was on my way, and I left my house to head down to Victor Harbour.
My name's Sean Patton. I'm a sergeant at Road Policing Section North. My team was on a day shift, 1st of January. We'd started doing an early RBT in North Adelaide. So we started at 3 in the morning. So we were on from 3 till about 6, 6.30, just doing random corporate drink driving, if you will, for New Year's Day.
My wife and myself, and we caught up Byron and his wife, Wendy, on New Year's Eve, and we chatted over that. Neither Byron nor I drank that night, but we decided to get up in the morning and go for an early morning ride before it got warm. So we met about 6 o'clock outside of our place, and we rode to Outer Harbour and back. It's a nice, easy ride. It's 60 k's. It's around about a two-hour ride. The weather conditions were perfect. It wasn't windy, wasn't hot, wasn't cold. Actually, it was warm. So it was really good visibility that time of year at 6 o'clock. So, yeah, it was a nice ride out there. Once we got at the end, we stopped for a short while, then rode back. And, yeah, it was perfect conditions, you know, so there's no reason for anybody not to see us. Yeah, so that was really quick. The car coming towards us crossed over the side of the road, really quickly. It wasn't weaving ahead. I didn't notice it weaving ahead at all. It just, as it got close to us, it crossed the road really quickly. Missed me by a small distance, but enough. I yelled at the driver at the time, and I could hear the crash behind me. And then I stopped, turned around and went back to Byron. Byron was lying on the ground, face up on the footpath. The driver was already out of his car at the stage. I yelled at him for not watching where he was driving because he looked as though he was looking at his phone. And so he was not looking where he was driving, he was looking down. And then he gave me some excuse back, which made no sense to me at the time. And then I tended to Byron. I didn't talk to the guy at all after that. I just focused on Byron and gave him CPR after looking for his vital signs.
I call this my sliding doors moment. When I travel along military roads, you come to a roundabout and you can turn down Grange Road or you can turn up onto Seaview Road. And different days I go different directions. And for whatever reason, that morning I turned up to go onto Seaview Road. I turned at the roundabout and then I turned left onto Seaview Road and I'm travelling along. There was no traffic, there was nothing really around. And then to my surprise, there was a car wedged into a stovey pole.
At 7:30, I was at Holton Hill Police Station just doing some administrative duties when a call came over the radio saying that a vehicle had collided with a cyclist.
Let's go, Telstra.
224-041.
Police emergency, what is your location?
There's been a car accident and then he's pushed to the stone road and he's also hit a man on a bike.
Okay, what's the location, please?
What's the location? What's the location, sir? 379 Esplanade.
Is anyone injured?
Yeah, I mean, it's been hit by a car on a bike.
Okay, what are the injuries?
His leg is completely sideways. And there's a stubby post hanging on an angle and there's liquids pouring out of the car.
Okay, I'm going to get there as soon as possible.
Okay.
Don't hang up.
I won't hang up. Oh, okay.
So the cyclist is not breathing?
He's not breathing. Yeah, I'm coming to the ambulance.
There was no emergency services there at that time, so I pulled over and walked back to see if I could be of any help at the scene of the accident. I didn't expect to see somebody on the pavement, a cyclist on the pavement and another cyclist for performing CPR. And I just went into automatic. So I offered to take over chest compressions, because I didn't know how long they'd been going. But the other cyclist that was doing the chest compressions wasn't going to stop.
Traffic 624.
So the information was coming through very quickly. The information that I received shortly after the fact that was a cyclist, a male cyclist, was currently under CPR on Seaview Road, and that bystanders were actually facilitating the CPR.
The cyclist that I now know, his name's Byron. I think, to be honest, he was probably already passed. His colour was not good. His eyes were open. So I just went into automatic. It's like, well, if you've got any chance, I need to do mouth-to-mouth. Obviously, there's no equipment around, so you have that split-second decision to make as to whether you're going to do mouth-to-mouth or not. It was very hard to get a clear airway to give him mouth-to-mouth, and unfortunately, his airway was full of blood, so I just was covered in blood from that. So I just cleared it off. I think I did about 3 rounds of trying to give him mouth-to-mouth.
So when I arrived there, I saw a vehicle that had collided with a tree and a stobie pole, and then I saw the remnants of a carbon fibre racing bike that was just crumpled. And then as all my attention was drawn to the paramedics, I saw a male who was currently under CPR and he was not responsive.
I remember hearing from my sister and she said, "Dad's been in an accident. It's bad. It's really bad. He's under CPR." So I knew at that moment that he wasn't going to survive.
The reports from the witnesses was that the driver got out of the car and his demeanour was very aggressive. He was aggressive towards the cyclist. He was aggressive that his car was damaged. He was the reason for the crash.
I mean, obviously, I was working with Byron, so I actually didn't even know where he was. But one of the other young ladies I asked, and she said, "No, he walked away. He walked and he was sitting down an alley." Apparently, he had actually tried to drive away at one point, but he just got out of the car completely unscathed. And it's like, I have no idea. No idea how that happened.
Yeah, I would have assist with this 201 rear death message.
Chief's surname is Gordon Golf Oscar Romeo Delta Oscar November. First name Byron, brother Yankee Romeo Oscar November.
So on the day, we had SAPO officers come to our house to confirm that Dad was dead. They're actually officers that I now work with and see all the time. From there, my mum and Dad's friend had to give statements. So that happened a couple of days later. It was obviously New Year's Day. There were lots of public holidays, so things were dragged out as a result. We had to identify his body. It was during COVID times, so we were restricted with trying to plan a funeral for someone who had an unexpected death. And I think there are approximately 150 people who wanted to attend this funeral. And so we had them lining up outside Centennial, trying to get in and then just watching on big screen TVs. So that entire process was quite challenging. From memory, approximately 6 weeks after Dad was killed was the first court appearance. These deaths are hugely traumatic. I can solely blame someone else for the death of my father, and I don't think I'll ever get over that. And that's just because of one decision that they made.
So with court, the court was like adjourned so many times. It's extremely frustrating. Like the accused kept on deferring for whatever reason. It was a change of lawyer. It was another change of lawyer. It was something this. Then he put in a not guilty plea and just dragged it out. And that was really excruciating for myself and his family. It kept on just dragged the whole episode out. The driver pleaded guilty in the last instant. So his last option, I think, was at either district court to plead guilty. We didn't have any evidence, but I did provide a witness statement and a witness impact statement, as did his family. So yeah, and I went to court. He offered an apology. I wasn't really interested. You know, he dragged out the court. If he was seriously sympathetic and sorry, he would have went to court the first instant and dealt with it there and then. I just felt as though he just prolonged it for no reason.
Through the whole process and the investigation, the driver had his bloods taken, which is part of our investigation and our requirements when investigating these type of incidents. The toxicology reports came back that the driver in his system had methamphetamines, cannabis, prescription medication, and ecstasy, so MDMA. That cocktail of drugs leads into the fatal five of drink and drug driving and distraction driving, and clearly his impairment while driving that day, he shouldn't have been on the road. And unfortunately, we can't bring back the deceased. And this is the reason why, because of the cocktail of drugs he had in his system. The driver, currently imprisoned, he was served a imprisonment sentence of 5 years and 6 months. And when he's released, he will have his driver's license disqualified for 15 years.
I mean, I know that Byron will be remembered by family and friends as a loving guy, a good laugh, did crazy amount of K's on the bike, but he clearly loved it, he was clearly passionate about it. What I'd like people to think about is that those consequences I've spoken about before, the things you don't realise about what's going to happen when someone loses their life. It's not just at the accident scene, this is an ongoing thing. I'm not sure if I will ever ride past that site and not think of Byron. I mean, maybe that day will come, but I'm not really sure if that's any time soon. Wendy and the family and Jeff will never forget Byron. That New Year's Day is forever tainted for them, you know, as it is for the group as we ride with him, because we will, you know, associate that day every year with losing Byron. And that's a tough gig. If I just implore people, look, there are bad people, but there are lots of good people out there who make really bad choices for very stupid reasons sometimes. And that's when you can find yourself in the situation that Byron's family is, or that's when you can find you and your family in the situation that the offending driver is in. And that's what I want people to walk away with, and understanding that this can happen to you.
Oh, I've gone through everything. I've been angry. I have been sad. I'm sad for Byron and his family and all his friends. I'm sad for the family of the driver, because they've had to live through this. They haven't lost. Well, they have, you know, they've been disturbed by this. So many people have been touched by this one incident, all for the fact that somebody had a good night the night before. It's ruined so many people's lives. We're coming up to close to 2 years. We'll be 2 years this January. I still have flashbacks. I still am very cautious when I'm out. I hate the fact that my grown-up children both still cycle, but I can't stop that from happening. The sound of a car hitting its brakes at any time sends me off as well. So, yeah, there's no good has come out of this. I'd like his family to know that I tried. I did really try.
Fatal Five, the story of Byron Gordon.